For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I'm so NY like MG rocking his Tims. Or Kiana representing Atlanta. We talking everything that's real estate. Y'all peeping the gram, I'm saying. Knowledge is power, you peep the weapon. Steady building better, be reclaiming all the equity. Dropping rants and gems. We got more of those.
All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of Rants and Gems. My name is Matt Garland. NMLS number 58700, but better known as MG the Mortgage Guy.
And my name is Kiana Watson, broker extraordinaire. License number 317576. And we can't wait for this episode, right?
This episode is going to be crazy.
It's going to be amazing.
Maya is spicy,
but bigger than that, she is so passionate about bridging the gap when it comes to affordable housing.
Absolutely.
And I feel like we all have a responsibility to make sure that we put that information out there.
Absolutely.
So I'm excited about this.
Look, she broke down mobile homes, USDA, HUD, I mean, the whole nine yards.
So government programs.
Government programs and government money, and we need to know about this. It's not enough of this type of conversation happening online.
First of all, we know that's your favorite thing, OPM.
OPM.
You love other people's money. You love other people's money.
All day long. So this episode, guys, I'm telling you, Maya is a certified gem dropper. Pay attention to this because there's a lot of gems in this. You might have to rewind it and write a lot of notes on this, all right? So before we bring out Maya, we're going to go to a quick commercial break. Thank you to all of our sponsors. We really appreciate you guys. All right, so today's episode is sponsored by Andre Barad of Yes to Real Estate, based in Houston, Texas. Listen, Andre's my guy. He's a realtor, investor, developer of residential real estate. He's on track to close about $20 million in real estate. So if you're a real estate agent, you know $20 million, especially in a market like Houston, Texas, is not an easy thing, all right? Andre and the Yes to Real Estate team, they do deals every single day. They're working with hardworking folks and turn them into successful investors. New builds, townhomes, fix and flips, commercial properties, they do it all. So if you're looking to buy real estate in the Houston, Texas market, make sure you hit up Andre Barad and his team. Go to yestorealestateteam.com for more information. All right, we are back. Thank you to our sponsors. Quick commercial break. And let's get to the show right now. So we are sitting with our esteemed guest, Maya Sly. How are you today?
I'm well. How are you?
Look, you're a serial entrepreneur and a real estate deal maker.
I guess. That's what they say.
We love to hear it. Yes. We love to have it here on the Rants and Gems. So tell us, when did you fall in love with real estate?
Oh, my goodness. I fell in love with real estate when I purchased my first house with a $10,000 grant in the middle of the hood. I moved from Buckhead to the hood, and none of my friends could believe it. They were like, you? Wait. Because I'm like,
We see.
Like, but I'm from the hood. I'm like, but you know that's where I'm from. Like, I ain't scared of them. They better be scared of me.
I love it.
They better be scared of me because when I come, I'm coming.
That's a fact.
And where I come, they bust back. So, you know, that's a whole nother conversation. But anyway,
we like this already.
That's a whole nother conversation. But now I've purchased my first home through a nonprofit.
Okay.
I called Sumac. I got a $10,000 grant, and they were revitalizing a neighborhood. They didn't call it gentrification because it's not gentrification. We have the opportunities to buy those homes too.
That's a fact.
And so I'm always annoyed when I hear us specifically say that. And so I was living in Buckhead. My apartment was had a two bedroom. My rent was like $1,275. If you can believe that.
That was
two bedroom.
That had to be way.
Baby, that way. Don't age me, girl. Don't do it.
It was a little time back.
It was. So it was crazy. It was in 1998, right? Mm-hmm. So I purchased my first place and it was a $10,000 grant. But the way they did it, it was an income. They wanted to get a different type of buyer. So there was a income not limit, but a minimum mm-hmm. that you can make. So all of my neighbors were doctors, lawyers, like they were all young professionals. So it was great. Like my neighborhood was awesome. And we were right by Turner Field. So, you know, you can't get anything over there now for less than $600,000 to $700,000.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I got that 2-bedroom, 2.5-bath townhome. I walked away from the table with like $300. Like my earnest money was $1,000, went under contract, closed, and they gave me money back. I was so confused. Wow. I didn't know how that happened. I was like, wait, what? I was like, so when do I pay? Like, it was like, but I fell in love with the process because I understood then that, oh, they will give you money to buy a house? Who would do that? Mm. And so I started doing the research. I'm from the beauty industry. I owned a salon. And so within like 3-4 months, I got my own license because I was sending people.
Real estate license.
Yeah. Okay. So I became a realtor as a stylist. So I was a salon owner. Uh-huh. 10-chair salon. We were killing it, just making money hand over fist.
Yes, you were.
I said, I'll just get me a little license. I'll just, you know, this be my play money. Baby, I played all right. They played no games. I went in there, went for their throats. I sold like 44 houses my first year.
Wow.
Just
love
like that.
To hear it.
Wow.
It was exciting. So I fell in love with
Hence,
it.
Hence, real estate deal maker.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So 44 deals your first year in real
No Bluetooth.
Estate. No Bluetooth.
No Bluetooth, no internet. Uh-huh. Like, I mean, we were right at the dot-com
era. So
this
was 99.
Yes, so I became licensed 2001 when the planes were crashing.
Okay.
So I closed like 99. So it was maybe like 13 months later when I went, sat for the boards, took my license and exam. The planes were crashing. Mm-hmm. And everybody that I studied with, they were like, oh my God, this is going to be terrible. I was like, oh baby, this is going to be the bomb.com. Like they didn't understand. Like, you know, if you're a student of history, the government bleeds money when there's times of war. I knew it was about to be on. So we did it.
So look, I got a question. This was interesting, right? Because, you know, Kiana, obviously licensed broker, aka, you know, deal maker. Also.
Deal maker.
Yeah.
She runs her company, Tools for Success.
Right.
You know, where she's training all these agents. How did you go about in that era, right?
Exactly.
Where there's no internet. Google just came around. There was no Facebook, Instagram. Like, how did you go about closing 44 transactions in your first year with none of the technology that we have today? Like, what was your steps?
Technology and no teacher.
No teacher. There was none of this.
None of this. Like, we can pay for information now. I'm like, the game is sold, not told. Like, the how is, you got to pay for that. Like, Absolutely. What? No, that's free. They can give you, this is what you do. But how you do it, you're going to pay for that. And you're going to pay for it at a exponential cost back then. Now it's pennies on the dollar.
Absolutely.
For you to
it's almost free.
Right. It is basically free. Right. Your ROI is free. So my situation was different because I was a salon owner. I wasn't just a stylist. I was an owner. So I had a 10-chair salon. Those 44 clients that came to me, every single one of them came from my salon. Mm. Every single one of them.
Gym.
I didn't have, that's my gym. So I didn't have a website. My business card was it. And all of them were buyers. I only had one listing that year. I didn't even know how to put in a listing. I had to like sit with somebody to help me. Because remember, it was so complicated back then. So I was self-taught, but it was because of the grant programs. When you give people information, I didn't have to sell anything. I just told them what I was doing. And so all of my clients at that time, they're all successful women making $70,000, $80,000 a year at 23, 24, 25 years old. They weren't waiting to get married to buy a house. They were just buying a house. So they bought a house, they got grants, and they were closing them left and right. And this was in 2000 when rates, I was selling those and rates were 7.5%.
That's what I was going to say. Rates were high back then.
So when they talk about a 4% rate, I'm like, that is free.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was amazing.
I say that all the time.
You know what? Information changes the conversation.
That's what
and we say that all the time.
Yeah.
And by providing that information about grants and programs, it's like you're able to target people and give them that information.
Right.
They're going to trust you. They want to work with you.
And a woman will let you touch their head. They will trust you with anything. I already know their business. I know who boyfriend dragging them, who husband dragging them.
I have no clue.
Like me looking at your financials is the easiest part. So it was very easy for them to become clients of mine because they already knew me. They already liked me or they already trusted me. Mm-hmm. So if they didn't know me, if I wasn't their stylist, I was their stylist boss.
Correct.
So it made it very, it was an easy transition and it was so organic. And it was one of the best decisions I ever made.
So as a realtor, right? Mm-hmm. 20 years in the game.
20 years, September 11th.
September 11th.
Yeah.
God bless everybody.
I know.
September 11th, right?
Right.
So 20 years in a game, what the biggest thing you've seen besides technology,
uh-huh.
right? because that's the obvious, right? Mm-hmm. What's the biggest thing that you've seen as a real estate broker in that 20 years?
Oh, my. The biggest change I've seen now is so much information, but misinformation and misapplied. Mm. And it's sad for me because I'm like, you're just talking off the top of your head. Like, let me see that settlement statement. Don't tell me what someone told you they did, because that's not true. It doesn't, like, I have access to the data. It doesn't work like that. So there are some 0% ways to get in something, but you can't buy investment properties at that scale with no money of your own in 550 credit scores. So from that standpoint, that's a challenging part. But what I've seen change the most is the pricing in Atlanta. Like, to think that $350,000 is affordable now, not low income. That's like, affordable housing right now. Like, when I started in the business, I was selling to that client base. So I know that client very well. I know their pain points. I know their challenges. But the biggest changes have been that those around, like, they've seen neighborhoods just built around them, and they act as if they don't know what's going on. It's like, how are you going to live in a place and not know how much it costs? Like, how much it costs to live somewhere? So I have people that come to me, they've been renting for 15 years. And now they want to buy. And they're like, you know, so my first question is always, well, how much do you want to pay? Correct. Because I'm going to qualify you on what your payment is in your head.
Absolutely.
What do they say to you?
Oh, when they
what's number one?
Oh, it's $1,000 a month.
Mine is always $1,200.
It's like $1,000 a month. And why do they think that? It's because of the misinformation on the internet. Because it tells you, oh, buying is cheaper than renting.
Yeah.
And it throws people off, because you have to recognize that that is not true.
Yeah.
Where can you live for $1,000?
What county?
I don't know.
Where's the property tax? Yeah.
Henry.
Yeah. No, not even Henry anymore. You got to go to Coweta. You got to go to Coweta. Yeah. You got to go Palmetto.
Yes.
Like, it's for real. Like, that, it's a challenge seeing that. But more so, it's, they look at, you realize people don't read and comprehend. No. They just read the top line. They don't read anything.
Yeah.
It's
absolutely.
Like when they saw it on bankrate.com, they left out the part where it was 20% down.
Absolutely.
And the mortgage insurance.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I love that you, like, you know.
Yeah.
Like, even still, like, we don't like to, we don't want it to be a Wakanda Atlanta takeover.
Yeah. This but
is
it just, is.
This well,
is,
it's kind of too late for that camera.
I know, but nationwide,
yeah.
prices are up. And I think that it's important that we tell our people, make sure that you consult with a great mortgage broker
first.
In your area. Consult with a great real estate agent in your area and get an understanding of what the market is for you, what the average price point is for you. So
for
that
you.
Way you are not fed misinformation, because you can't compare our market to, we had a great gentleman on our pod not too long ago. And so we can't compare Atlanta to Arkansas, right?
No.
Where their average price point is like 200 and something.
Right.
And our average price point
and Forsyth
Brick. 400 and something.
Yeah. Yeah. Forsyth Brick.
So we have two different.
Forsyth Brick.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So two different things.
Yeah.
So with you,
mm-hmm.
now that we know everybody's looking for a way out, and you started off by, you know, providing all this information about grants and what's taking place. What is it like? Give me something special that you know that most people don't know when it comes to acquiring these homes and trying to help us bridge that gap when it comes to affordable housing.
So one of the biggest, I think, things that we don't take advantage of as African-Americans, we think we have to have a lot of money to be an investor, right? Like, you can't have no money, but you can find opportunities in other markets. Most people think, oh, I've got to go look at it up the street. Do you know how many rental properties a person can have at one time and they never visit any of them? You're not, they have the right to quiet enjoyment. When they move out, then you go look at the place. You're not going to, so if you have a place in Bainbridge, Georgia, that's cash flowing $700 a month, why do you care?
Yeah.
So in those markets, you have a lot of opportunity with land banks that they will convey the land to you. You just have to commit to revitalize that lot, not the block, just the lot. So those are some things that we haven't taken advantage of. So in 2019, one of my commitments was financial literacy. I started going to Washington because I just could not understand, how is this happening? Because I've been in the business for a long time. Mm-hmm. I own a beauty brand. I own multiple beauty brands. And so that was my bread and butter for years. When the market crashed in 07, 08, I was in a different situation. I wasn't trying to do all that work no more. I was like, I'm going to let them do that. And so I had the opportunity to really sit back and reevaluate the way that I wanted to be in real estate. So now with what's going on, with all this information, you can go find your block in a city that you have never been to, when the municipality is like, you're from Atlanta? Come do it here. because we really do influence everything now. The way New York and LA influenced things in the 70s, 80s, 90s, now, no disrespect.
It's the truth. Oh,
it's the truth. No, this is this.
New York run it though. Let's be clear.
What are y'all running?
Everything.
Yeah,
the
stock market. Okay. Yeah.
The
and
world.
China owns y'all, baby. China owns New York. Well, let's be clear.
Well, then China owns America.
Yeah, well, no, let's start there. So we can debate this all day. Friendly conversation.
Atlanta do, if Atlanta does it, it's done.
And so for clarity, we're an entrepreneurial city. So the reason people move to Atlanta is because we don't have the same bureaucracy that you have when you're run by organized crime and other areas that you don't have a pathway to get in as a person of color when you are in markets where it just costs, your fixed cost is too much. So in Atlanta, you have the opportunity to do that. And you have people from a bunch of small towns that really were born and raised to be able to work for a living. You know, they didn't catch a train. They had to have a car. So there's a different grunt that comes with that. We're a college town. So when you have a bunch of college educated people, so you really get a great mix. We're a college town where people don't leave and go back home. They stay here.
Correct.
And so by doing so, we are able to have access to not only a lot of information, but a lot of educated people who have the resources to be able to have signing authority. And that's a big challenge.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Challenge for most people, when you're in a market and someone has a position and they don't look like you, you can explain to them 20, 50 million ways why this would work. And they're just like,
They don't get it.
Why would we do that? So why would you do that? Because no big builder, D.R. Horton, John Whelan, these bigger companies, they don't want 4, 7, 8 lots.
No.
If you're not giving them 50, 60, 70 acres, they can't do anything with that because they have too much overhead.
Yeah.
But you, me, Kiana, we can go in and buy 15 lots from the county for pennies on the dollar, and we can build 5 houses apiece. We have 15 houses go up. You've changed not only the neighborhood, the tax bases, we get tax abatement. Like, it's so many things that we can do because they want our business. No one's coming in and building new construction for Black people who don't know that you don't have to go to the neighborhood bank. The neighborhood bank isn't putting them up on the game that we are.
Absolutely.
They're not letting them know that there's a USDA program and let me put it in. Oh, yeah. You qualify for not only USDA through a lender, but I have a direct loan program that I'm licensed for to package your USDA loan. And guess what they do? Subsidize their mortgage. So you can make $15 an hour.
All right, you're moving too fast.
Wait a minute.
Okay.
Hold on. Can I just say this?
Hold on.
You know, women, Black women.
We're smart. That's what we do.
No, Black women are the shit.
And I'm so glad to have her here.
Like, let's be clear.
Like, but on top of that, like, this information is so important. So we want to take it back.
Yeah. Okay.
We've all heard about USDA financing.
Let's
break it down. What is USDA financing, and what type of programs do you
have? So when you think of the U.S. Department of Agriculture, what do you think?
Country.
And farms, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Did you know?
Agriculture.
Agriculture. So you think it's, most people think it's for farming, but 80% of their budget goes to nutrition, which is food stamps. That's where most of their budget goes. A lot of their money outside of that is for a housing program, and it's called a rural development loan.
Mm-hmm.
So they have so many programs within the program, you just have to dig. And it takes a long time to get established with them, but once you're in, you're in.
Mm-hmm.
And so knowing the game is half the battle.
I agree. I've closed a few USDA loans within my career.
Yeah.
They work.
They work. And when you look at the rural areas.
So let's break it down.
Okay.
Like,
so,
how does somebody, like, what are the qualifications for a USDA loan?
Okay, so the qualifications for a USDA loan for a direct loan is that you have to be in poverty, meaning it is for poor people, working poor. So if you make $15 an hour, so I'll give you an example. Palmetto is a USDA territory.
Absolutely.
Right. So
and
that's
Locust Grove.
So
I'm very familiar.
Right up the street, like literally right up South Fulton Parkway. So if you make $15 an hour, family of five, so a husband, the husband was the only one that worked. $15 an hour, they got food stamps. They get to use that money to qualify for their loan. So on paper, they qualified for $263,000 in mortgage. The government subsidizes their mortgage by almost 35%. Their mortgage interest rate is 1%. Mm. So 1% interest rate on a $263,000 house, and the government is going to subsidize it, and it's going to be spread out over 33 to 38 years, depending on their situation. So if a person has a disability in your household, receives SSI, you automatically qualify for the 1%. Mm. So this is so for, again, someone like ourselves who are like, you know what? We just can't find any land in Atlanta. We can't do any deals in Atlanta.
And that's USDA direct.
USDA direct.
Direct. That's not going through the lender.
You can't go through the lender. Yeah, you have to go.
For the direct program. Mm-hmm.
But the caveat is the reason most people don't even use it is because they say it takes too long. Well, the time is going to pass anyway, honey.
That's a gem. The time is going to pass anyway.
Have you ever heard anybody say, I don't want to go back to school? And you're like, yeah. But what are you doing? The time is going to, it's how long it's going to take. It's going to take the time it's going to take. Mm. So it takes 4 months, and they're going to take, it's a government worker. They're going to take the entire 4 months. But once you have your certificate of eligibility, then you can go find a house. So as a investor, builder, developer, realtor, if we spot build, we already have a guaranteed buyer.
100%.
I have a guaranteed buyer. They have a requirement. The house can't be over 2,000 square feet. Great. I won't build a house over 2,000 square feet. Whatever the guideline is, it's the same thing in the mortgage business. Yeah. What is the guideline? So the guideline for USDA direct is the house cannot be over 2,000 square feet. Mm-hmm. If it can't be over 2,000 square feet, don't build anything over 2,000 square feet. You know how big a 2,000 square foot house is?
Yeah.
Especially for someone coming out of an apartment?
Yeah.
And their mortgage is going to be $500 a month forever, and they're going to own it? It's an amazing product for people who
for the
are
right
the
person.
For the working poor, but the working poor is most of America.
For the working poor.
For the working poor is most of America. Do you know that 50% of people in America make less than $30,000 a year?
Yeah.
50%.
Yeah.
Make less than $30,000 a year. So there's more of those people that need to be served than people who are buying million-dollar homes.
That's a fact.
So that is why these programs are super duper important, because for people who have disposable income who cannot find a deal in their city, drive up the street. You're not a tree. Get in your car. Mm. And then you be the face of it, because now you're letting them see that they can't change the rules once we get in it. This is the rules and the guidelines. This is what it is.
So now with the USD Direct, right? Then you have the USD Rural Loan that lenders will offer.
That one. Yeah.
So what is the difference? What's the USDA one that the lenders will offer? Like, what are the qualifications for that?
It has to be in a USDA area. So there's a map.
That's number one.
It has to be on the map. So the map searches, and it will tell you green or red. If it's hits green, then that means it is a USDA area. And the address has to hit. So you can't have the census tract. You have to have an address.
Yeah. That goes directly to it.
To that lot.
Minimum 640 credit score.
Yeah, minimum 640. But with this program, you don't have to have one.
See, with the direct one,
with
you
the
don't.
Direct one, you don't.
But
you
if
don't.
You go through the lender, you have to have a 640 credit
score. So that's why this one is so great, because they know in these areas, they were catering. Can I say this on here?
Yeah, go ahead.
This was the white man.
Friends and gems.
Yeah,
this is what you got to say.
This is like, have you ever been to small towns and you wonder, why don't the black people have a house and all these white people have these big houses with boats and blah, blah, because they knew about the program. Mm-hmm. They knew about the program. They didn't go through the bank. They went through USDA direct. Because it doesn't matter how much land is on there. They built the house on there. So they built the house on there, paid for the land. Then they got money for farming. All of these things, but it was subsidized. It's the biggest welfare system for whites in this country for almost 100 years.
Wow.
Wow.
Yes, this program is ridiculously great.
And
so,
that, is there a minimum amount of acreage that the property has to be?
So,
you said the house has to be 2,000 square feet or less. But can you have like a 50 by 100 lot, or do you need 5 acres minimum?
No, you can have it's a regular size lot.
Okay.
So it just has to be in that area.
In the rural area.
Sometimes you'll be surprised by what they deem to be rural. Because the USDA loans I've closed, and this was in the early parts of my career. We're at Locust Grove, Henry County, McDonough, Palmetto.
Yeah.
Like those areas, but they're right outside of huge like cities. Mm-hmm. Like I'm saying like one step out. So I personally think that you'll we should be able to provide them with a map. I think people really want to start.
Yeah. So it's going to be the USDA.gov.
USDA.gov. And we're going to put this in the description too.
Yeah, right. It's the USDA.gov. And it is the, if you want the direct loan program, it is going to be the 502 direct. Because that's the one that you can get subsidies for. It's a lot more leniency, but you have to go through what we call an intermediary. That's what we do. Okay. And they don't deal with the customer or the client directly. The government doesn't. We have to be a certified loan packager.
Explain to the folks out here who don't know what an intermediary is.
So this is why a lot of people they think it's difficult or it's hard, because you call people and they won't call you back. How many agents will you call and they don't call you back on a listing?
A million.
So
a million.
This process, it's called a loan packager. They only get paid $1,750, right? So you have to be doing a lot of volume for that to be, or it has to be a passion for you.
Yeah.
The only reason I started doing it was because I couldn't find anyone to do it for my clients. I was like, this can't be this hard. And so I went through the certification process in order to be able to do it, because I can match a client. So with this, you have to find an intermediary in your area. So we have 4 or 5 offices in Georgia. Mm-hmm. So if you're buying in Henry, I use a different office to send your package to than the person living in Palmetto.
Let me ask you a question, because mm-hmm. we always want to make sure we're maintaining our nationwide status.
Yes.
This could be in any city,
everywhere,
any state. So what it is someone needs to go to that website mm-hmm. and find an intermediary in their specific area.
Right.
Because this can be used in all 50 states.
It can be used in all 50 states. And a person, like, I can package in all 50 states. So if a person, so it's really amazing for, like, my clients that live in D.C. So, you know, in D.C.
Oh,
and,
I know.
Yeah, so right outside of D.C., the Maryland area, up in Marlboro, they have, it's all USDA. Yeah. So they have a lot of USDA areas. When you see builders going into those areas, the reason they're going in is because
subsidies.
Getting, and they give them all their pre-development costs back for infrastructure. They're bringing in a tax basis for the city. So not only are they getting money from the municipality, but they can get the money from USDA. They will give them money. They give them a grant portion, or they will give them a loan. You can do both. So when you see a John Whelan going out there, you see a D.R. Horton, he ain't going out there for free.
They're getting so many
they're
going
to
go over there.
Yeah.
It makes sense. So this what leads me to my next question with you, because you're so passionate about it.
I am passionate about it.
And you're so passionate about
it. I'm passionate about USDA.
I
keep up with you, and I know that you really, like, you target, you really want to make sure there's still some affordable housing.
Yes.
And I think that it's important, because, you know, I know your story.
Yeah.
I've been to your dinner at dusk. I can't wait to come again.
I know we haven't. I can't wait to tell you about the one in January. But, okay.
but I really want you to just let people know, like, a little bit about where you've come from.
Okay.
And why this is such a passion for you.
Well, it's a passion for me because I grew up in a small rural town where there weren't very many Black homeowners.
Rural town, where at?
So it's not considered rural anymore. It's Panama City, Florida. So I'm from a beach town. But if you go to beach towns, if you go across the bridge, it's a whole different world. So if you go on the beach, it's everything's beautiful. It's great. You go across the bridge, it is plight. It's just, what is going on? They're service workers. It's like when you go to an island. Mm-hmm. Like, there's not a lot of education. Like, for me to have I didn't have my first Black teacher until I was in the sixth grade.
Wow.
Yeah, so I didn't see Black people like that. And so to be in a situation where, you know, I didn't see home ownership, I didn't even know that Black people could do what you thought they had to do this or do that to be able to have it. And when I understood now that, this is just information. And so I grew up in Panama City, Florida, born in a housing project, raised in a mobile home park. So I know what that feels like for somebody.
Raised in a mobile home park.
Yeah.
Let's not let that go from nobody's head.
No. I'm a Black girl from a trailer park.
I've never met a Black person that lived in a trailer park.
Well, you're going to meet a whole bunch of them, because I'm actually getting ready to build a park.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I just have 40 acres. So I have 40 acres in Ashburn, Georgia. So we're getting ready to build the first phase. We can put 160 mobile homes. So the cash is king in the mobile home business.
Yes, wow. I've heard about it.
It's crazy. Like, the return on investment, Warren Buffett owns mobile home parks. Like, it is crazy money in the mobile home business, because it doesn't cost as much to bring them in. And it's a whole different element. It's a whole different person. They police each other. Drive to any mobile home park, you'll never see trash on the ground.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
And let me ask you this, though. Mm-hmm. Even from your upbringing, and now you're like, I'm going to focus on affordable housing, mm-hmm. and you have this huge mobile home park that you want to build.
Yep.
What was your thought process with getting this done? Because we've all heard about it. It has to be area specific, I'm sure, and these things. Do you own the land?
Yeah.
And are you going to allow them to purchase the trailers back? Like, give us some details.
This one is actually for my grandmother. So this one I'm building in my grandmother's name. Like, she was the first woman in her family to be able to buy a home, and the only home she could afford to buy was a mobile home. a mobile home. And it's like, a mobile home? But if you're from Florida, like, a mobile home is the cat's meow, honey. We were, we had a single wide. She had a jacuzzi suite. It was amazing. She just didn't negotiate the air conditioning unit. So that was always a challenge. But that hot trailer, if you follow me on Instagram, I talk about that hot ass trailer all the time. But that hot trailer taught me how to work. And it really showed me, okay, if you can work hard enough, you can own something. And that's what they want. Like, my grandmother was so proud of that trailer. And so I want to be able to do that for other people who no one is thinking about them. Like, no one is considering that they don't want to live in an apartment forever. They want a place to call home. They want trails and parks and all of these things. So I wanted to build what I wanted to see growing up. And that's what I'm going to do with this. But also for Black investors who want to be a part of that, because you can't make the kind of money you used to be able to make on cash flow on a lot of rentals. The average person on a rental, if they're under that $250, they might be making $200-$300
a
month.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Yeah. Maybe $300.
Maybe. And $300 is a lot. Well, in a mobile home, you're going to cash flow $600, $700 a month. Because I can get a home sometimes for $20,000. We renovate them. So my park will be the standard for what mobile home living should look like. Mine is going to look like a Stepford's. Everything will look the same. So it'll only be Black and white. But the mobile home park for me is to really show us that there's other ways to be in this game. There's other ways to make money in the real estate game, because it is still real property. It's an asset.
Yes.
It's an asset.
But on top of that, you know, keep in mind, I'm from Fayetteville, North Carolina.
Yeah.
And at one point when we migrated from, I grew up in the project.
Uh-huh.
When we migrated from there, and then we lived in mobile home parks as well. Mm. But we had the double wide.
You had a double wide?
It was bricked in.
Yeah.
And so when it's bricked in, you know, you're elevated.
Yeah.
And, you know, we graduated.
So y'all didn't have a skirt. You had a brick bottom. Oh, y'all were busting.
So we were living well.
Yeah.
And, you know, you just keep elevating.
The
brick bottom is
when I show you, you're going to be like, okay, so.
Yeah, when it's bricked in, it's next level.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's like a house.
I get it because. And then from there, of course, we elevated. My mom got, you know,
she was the Section 8
vouchers.
Money.
Now we were able to stay inside houses. So I, you know, me as well, I understand.
Yeah, you understand
like your passion.
That.
And so I think with you, with having these mobile home parks and you're doing this, yes, it's a way for people like me, Matt, and a lot of our earners and all those people, our Rants and Gems people, to invest.
Right.
But it's also a great passion project for people that are in that space and providing them nice, affordable housing.
And affordable housing in a place that they want to call home. So you had a brick bottom and you were like, oh, this is it. Because if you have a bricked in bottom, do you know you can sell that as a home?
Yes,
I know. You can sell it as a home if you put a foundation on the bottom. So we set it just like a modular and you can sell them. So there are mobile home subdivisions, not parks, subdivisions that are single. They're sold as single family homes, but they're just mobile homes. You just have to
put
they
just got the foundation.
You have to have the foundation.
You have the foundation. So and with these costs and material costs as they are now, when you say, what have I seen change? The cost of materials, can you believe? Like, we would never think that a stud would cost $18. Like, what?
Yeah.
So we have to find a way to evolve in this space and still be able to have wealth. Like, we can still bridge the gap because no one wants to negotiate that rate on that Benz or that Range Rover. They're just give them the car, right? Mm-hmm. They want that, but they want to negotiate a rate on a mortgage. Huh?
Yeah.
Like, so that $20,000 that you put down, you can actually go buy you a whole house, sit it on a piece of land and cash flow, and they will never move. I have people that have lived in the same mobile home for 20 years.
They say forever.
Renting.
Yeah, because they're comfortable. It's safe
for
them.
Yeah. Right? So for me, my passion will be once they're in the home, the financial literacy piece, getting them in a position that they can now buy. So those people that purchase, that come in, the investors are going to be able to make money, but also the person in there, they have a 24 to 36 month lead time.
Okay.
By this time, you should be in a position that you'll be able to buy because I already have the USDA product for you.
Yeah.
There's no excuse. There's no
Listen,
excuse.
Hold on.
You
know, this is what I'm talking about. This reminds me of when Pam was on our show and she was like, why do y'all, you know, teach a man how to fish?
Yeah.
And, you know, he'll eat for a lifetime, but why don't you want to have the pond?
Yeah.
And in my thoughts, like with this mobile home park, like you're giving them the pond, baby. It's like, I'm giving you the place to live. I'm going to teach you how to purchase. But then beyond that, I'm going to help you purchase with a program that I already have in-house.
Amazing. The money is there. They go. They send $1 billion back every year. It goes underspent. So if we run out of money in Georgia, I can go to New Mexico and say, do you have any money?
Mm.
because
it's
it's underutilized. They're like, oh, we're not using the money. Yeah, you can get it.
So you got 40 acres.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I got my 40 acres. I didn't wait for him to give it to me in reparations, honey. I went and got my 40 acres.
You got to be your own reparations.
Get your own reparations.
So we like that. So you got 40 acres to build 160 homes.
Mm-hmm.
What is the process, like permit process?
Oh.
How do you develop? Like, what is the process to develop a mobile home community?
The same as it is to do a development for a single family home. You still have to bring in the infrastructure. So I'll start at the top of the year because the fiscal year started over for the federal government in October. Mm-hmm. So the funding is available. So now we're going after the grant money first. Let me use their money first. So all of our soft costs. So when you look at the land, I know how many lots can fit on there because I've already started my pre-development. So they've already done the topography. They know how many, they know where the water is. They know where we're going to tap into the sewer. So I'm getting bids now on the cost for the infrastructure. I've worked in new home construction since 2003. So I started working with a builder developer who was inherited land on the south side. He came from Cherokee County. He had never built on the south end of town. So he didn't know what an MPU board was. He didn't realize that people could make a decision who didn't own a home. So he was like, I'm not doing that. I was like, oh, I'm doing it. I'll go. So I learned how to bring in infrastructure as an agent. So I learned stuff as an agent that most agents, they're like, I'm just here to sell the house. No, I had a $15 million phase to sell out, a $50 million development. Oh, I'm going to all the meetings.
Yeah,
I'll wrangle their asses in.
Absolutely.
Don't tell me that you don't need $400,000 houses here in a new tax basis, because this is before South Fulton County became South Fulton County. It was unincorporated.
Mm-hmm.
So it was Camp Creek, and this was South Fulton before it was South Fulton. It was unincorporated Fulton. Unincorporated. So a person from New York would literally find me on the internet, wire me, a person they've never met, all they saw was my picture, wire me $10,000 for their earnest money, house sight unseen, all they saw were pictures. They flew down, closed, relocated their entire family because they have a house on a half acre, $350 to $450, and rates then were like 3.5%. Right. So their mortgage payment with taxes and insurance, because their tax basis was low because they didn't have a city tax, only a county tax. So all of those things matter when you're looking at, how do these people afford this? Well, it's not the price of the house. It's everything else that came along with it. So in learning that's what doing this mobile home park didn't scare me, because I already knew. I was like, well, he was damn near idiot. And I basically did almost all the work. He just used to drop plans off and people built neighborhoods for him at that time, because that's the generation that he came up in.
Yeah.
So when he came to the South Side and they were like checking, you know, dotting I's and crossing T's, he was looking at them like, this is my land. I can do what I want to do. But I always say, what would the white man do? So when someone tells me no, I'm like, what would a white man do in this situation? So whatever they would do, that's what I do. You're not going to tell me no. It's never a no for me. It's just no right now, because I'm going to go around you or I'm going to go through you. One way or the other, you're going to get out of my way.
Let me tell you something. You chose violence today. She chose violence every day.
Not violence, but you're going to get out of my way. You're going to get out of my way. The internet is our friend.
Oh, she's very spicy.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah. Yeah, you're going to get out of my way, girl.
But what I like about that, though, is you're just letting it be known, like, let's talk about it.
Yeah.
Rants and Gems, we have a lot of people that may want to, you know, invest in your project.
Well,
if you're looking for investors, or, you know, how, like, when you're funding this project and you're getting it going, what are you looking for in an investor, and are you looking for investors?
So what I really want to do with this project, so to be quite honest, I know the big boys don't want us in this game. Do you know how hard it is to get land that's already zoned for a mobile home park? It's already zoned for a mobile home park.
Wow.
It's almost virtually impossible to get. So the land alone is already worth four times what I paid for it.
Mm-hmm.
I got it because my client, his daughter was the nurse for the man. His wife had COVID and the kids didn't help. The wife died.
Mm.
And so he was looking at them like, oh, y'all are just waiting for us to die. She was talking to his dad and he was like, does your dad want to buy it? And he was like, I don't want 40 acres. I was like, well, what's the zoning? And I was like, oh, I want it. So he was like, wait, you want it? I was like, yeah. I was like, I told you I want to do a park. He said, oh, I think you'll start. He's a man. He was being, you know, people are more sexist than, this is a black man.
Yeah.
They're more sexist than they are racist. He was like, you don't want all that? I was like, yeah. Like,
Why wouldn't you?
Why wouldn't I?
Yeah.
But he's like, he thinks this is what I do. This isn't what I do. Like, I'm rolling my sleeves up. I'm going to get this bag. So
this is what I look like.
Yeah.
This is not what I do.
Yeah, this is not what I do. Like, I'm about the money. So let me look at the numbers. And when I looked at the numbers and I looked at the bigger parks now. So the bigger parks. So there's Yes Communities, a couple I'm not going to talk about. We ain't going to promote them.
The other ones.
The big boys don't want us in this space, right? Because, again, once we get information, you know what we do. We push the gas, right?
Absolutely.
So the bigger companies now, they are coming in and they're changing the way the parks look. So mine is already zoned for a specific type of park. So I'm going to build tents. I've already bought the trailers. So we're going to redo the trailers and we set the neighborhood all at one time. So one day you walk, drive by, there's nothing. And the next day it'll be a neighborhood. So I'm only going to do the first 10 and I want to sell it on paper. But I'm selling it under my grandmother's name. So her name is Miss Annie. And so this will be her signature collection. This is what it will look like. And so in the covenants, you cannot build it unless it looks like this. So that's how I want it to look.
That's
gangsta. So I'm excited to do that.
I like that.
I'm very excited.
Very
shout
excited.
Shout out to Grandma.
Yeah, shout out to Nana.
Nana.
Yeah. And she won Yard of the Month all the time, and she didn't win. She was big mad. I was like, you can't win all the time.
But that's the pride in ownership.
No, honey, that was, I didn't realize it then. It was, she got free lot rent. So by her having free lot rent, no, my grandmother used to work in her yard every morning before she went to work. And I was just like, God, is she doing all of this? And if she did not win, she would be, you know, like picking a yard apart. I'm like, girl, you won like 11 months. But that was her lot rent, meaning that was 1 week of her pay. She made $3.35 an hour. So for it took her a week to pay for that lot rent. So she got up in the morning. And so our yard was always spectacular. But there was a reason for it. I didn't realize it. Then she, like, she just worked hard. She wasn't talking about it. She just got up there and did it. So at the very least, if I can do anything in her honor, I want to be able to show other women that you don't need a man to do this. You can do it on your own. And there's no excuse, especially if you have someone that looks like you who knows your plight. Let me help you help yourself.
I love that.
Yeah. So
that's
I'm excited
powerful.
To do that.
Very powerful.
I love that.
Yeah. We're excited. Yeah. Very excited.
I'm excited just hearing about all of this. So what's your projected time with having your lot completed?
Oh, God. So we're going to start our pre-development in January, and I hope to be cutting streets by spring and trailer set by June. So that's our projected timeline, but it's the material cost. Like, we would have started now, but now the numbers have to work for it to work. So if you already own the land, I can wait.
Yeah.
I can wait. Like, it's better for me to wait than to overpay. Overpay for labor, to overpay for material, because that makes all the numbers wrong.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not gonna have like all of this equity in the land and then kill it on the deal. I don't need to do it right now. Like, it's mine now. I can do it when I want to do it. They can't change the zoning.
Yeah.
It's already in place.
It's already in place.
Yeah, so I'm grandfathered in anyway.
So you're talking about pretty much 12 months.
Yeah, 12 months. So by the end of
2022,
by the end of 2022, I want to have sold the project on paper. So once my 10 go in, the rest of it will be sold on paper. Like, I want a Black woman to be the face of rural development, affordable housing. I want them to see that it looks like us too. Like, we want ownership, so we can have ownership with the right information. If you have a 580 credit score, how easy is it for me to get you to a 640? And when you don't have a lot of debt, most poor people, they don't really have bad credit because they haven't given them enough credit for them to screw it up. It's easy for me to work with that girl.
Yeah.
It's harder for me to work with somebody who's made 70, 80 with $200,000 in student loan debt with a 580 credit score.
Yeah.
So someone in a small market, much easier for me to deal with them because they don't have $600, $700 car payments. They don't have all of this debt. They just really have a bunch of stupid medical bills and little crap like that. It's easy for me to get around that.
Let's talk about that, because now you're talking about your workaround.
Yeah.
So not only are you going to build the community, you're about to start. You must have some type of program or even meetings you're going to take with the local people in these communities so you can prepare them for home ownership.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It's easier that way, though, because it's easier to get to the people. Like, you know, you can just pitch a story to the news, right?
So,
can pitch a story to the news. Most people are like, well, why would that be a story? Affordable housing, that's our biggest crisis in America.
It's a huge crisis.
Yeah, I did a story. I have 59 units that I'm just the agent. I'm the listing agent for this project. I called them. They did the story. We have 700 people on a waiting list for 59 houses.
Wow.
Within 2 days.
Wow.
Within 2 days. We hadn't even broke ground when the story aired. We were just there clearing the land that day. So, you know, to be able to educate people is one. We have 700 people on the waiting list. 700 don't qualify.
Absolutely.
So now we have a pipeline of people that, you know, want a house. Now it's easier for us to get the information to them. You know, Zoom, like, there's one thing about the pandemic that has helped, because it's harder when you're trying to get all of these people in one place.
Bodies in the space.
Yeah, bodies in the space.
But
now,
virtually, you can do it.
Virtually,
no problem.
And I can put them in a system easier this way. So I partner with you and say, okay, listen, this is what we need them to do. All they need is a goal. They can't hit a moving target. They don't know what to do. So they don't know by not reporting all of their income or writing everything off is killing them on paper. Like, you can't do it if you ever want to own anything. And they see the prices going up around them. But with the right information, we're able to help them that way. So, you know, like, in those markets, the community wants what you have. I say go to where you're celebrated. I'm not fighting against the grain. Go to where you celebrate it. Like, don't. Yeah, I'm in Albany. Like, I'm going to Albany, Georgia to get lots. Like, they're like, what do you want? We will give you the lot. We will give you a credit.
And Albany is.
And Albany? Yeah. No, Albany is a city.
It's a city. It's a rural city. One of my friends, Kendra, she's from there.
Okay. Yeah.
And they're growing and they're building.
Crazy.
And what's the biggest thing I've learned about Albany, just because of my friendship with her, is that there is not a lot of Black people that are moving the real estate needle there, selling the real estate, representing sellers, are also building.
Yeah.
So that's a great market because there's a lot of African-American people there.
It's 53%. Yeah. I think it's 53%. Like, the number is huge, but the government there, they open their books to you. They want to do business with you. So one of the young ladies in the county development, when City of Atlanta shut down, like all of our governments were shut down, they were open for business. I told them what I wanted to do. She opened up the book. She was like, okay, we've got this many lots.
Now I have another question for you, because I'm glad you brought that up.
Okay.
As a real estate broker owner, I think that it's important that you're doing these great things. As someone else, as a real estate agent, realtor, because we have a lot of people that watch this, what should they do if they want to start helping with this affordable housing crisis and position themselves to build and, you know, develop a community, even if it's 5 properties?
Yeah. Well, so for an agent, I always said, let's back into the problem, right? Mm-hmm. So if you can't find houses, but you know there's people who want to flip, then go find the house and match them to the client. AHA right now, Atlanta Housing Authority, has lots. And that's not just in Atlanta. That's any housing authority. Any housing authority has land. You know what their biggest issue is going to be after this eviction moratorium? It's over now. But when the courts start evicting people and getting them out of these houses, you know what it's going to be?
Where are they
going
to go?
Where are they going to go? Yeah. Section 8 people aren't going to have a place to go because their landlords are ready to sell because they're at the top of the market.
Yeah.
So as an agent, if you know that we're at the top of the market, but you're passing by a street every single day that has a lot, just go match them. Match them. Go find the program and match them. So the money is in the middle of the market. That's where the money is. There's money in the high-end market, but at the end of the day, most people aren't trusting a brand new agent to sell them $1 million home.
That's a fact.
That's when they get licensed, they say, I want to be a luxury agent. I'm sure you
do,
honey.
I hear it every day.
Everybody wants to be a luxury agent.
I said, honey, do you want that luxury headache all the time? You've got to have the skill set to be able to do that, and you have to learn how to work with all sorts of clients.
Absolutely.
But the money and the volume is always in the middle. It's always in the middle. When the market crashes, guess who can get a loan?
The middle. Yeah.
And the middle is always going to give you the most challenges.
Yeah.
And you'll learn so much in the middle that you can work any price point.
Oh, 100%.
And
I think I can't be broken.
Yeah.
There's nothing. No. There's no problem. I have. Yeah. I'm like, oh no, I know what to do with this.
Yeah.
I already know what to do with
this. I've seen this story,
honey.
Before.
I've been here. I know just enough to be dangerous. I've been here before. Like.
So you're still an avid believer, because even for me, like in the city of Atlanta, I'm meeting with my agents. You know, the programs, they used to be phenomenal.
Yeah.
And now they're okay.
Yeah, they're just okay. They're just okay.
I think we can all agree that they're just okay. And I think this is across the nation. They're just okay.
Yeah.
So what can we do? Like, you know, what websites to use? What resources do you have for a first-time buyer, second-time buyer? They're looking and they're like, okay, where do I find, or how can I connect myself to a great program to help me?
There's no programs if you're a second-time buyer. There's no programs if you're a second-time buyer, unless you haven't owned a home in 3 years. So I had a young lady yesterday that called me, and she's like, I'm selling my house. Zillow bought it. I'm making double what I paid for it. She wanted one of mine. I said, oh, we won't have any for 4 to 5 months. Mm-hmm. And she was like, well, I guess I could stay in an extended stay. I said, wait, you sold your house and you don't have a place to go? Yeah. She's like, but I'm making double. I said, sweetie, you're going to spend all of the money. Yeah. I said, have you ever been qualified to even see what you can qualify for? She was like, well, I can put money down. I was like, how much do you want to put down? She said, I mean, not all of it. I said, I would hope not. Like, so that's the thing. It's like, you have to know where the programs are and for who, because just because it's affordable housing, they feel like if you've owned a home already, you don't need any help this time.
Yeah.
So you couldn't have owned a home in the last 3 years. So for a first time home buyer, you have Atlanta Housing Authority. Mm-hmm. They have a grant for all of our heroes, $25,000. ANDP, $30,000 for our veterans. Invest Atlanta, $10,000. So that's in Atlanta. But any city, any municipality, USA, just go to their development authority. The development authority will show you where the money is, because that's where it goes. It goes there first. And they disperse the money if you're in a county. But if you're in a city, a major city like New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, any of the big cities, the city has a huge chunk. And DeKalb, like DeKalb is a city.
Yes,
it is. It's a bigger city than a lot of parts of it, if per capita, than Atlanta.
It is.
Yeah. So with that, they have their own funding for community block grants, all of these things. So the money is out there. You just got to start going down a rabbit hole. But the first place you start, start with the housing authority. They're the easiest ones.
Easy
and when you say housing authority, most people think, what? I have to live in a housing project?
Yeah,
no, that's just where the money went.
Yeah.
They're the ones, they're HUD. So HUD can't have 50 offices. Yeah. So they send the money to the housing authority, and the housing authority is able to distribute it in the city of Atlanta only. Atlanta. Yeah. So just because it has an Atlanta address does not mean it's the city of Atlanta. So it has to be property taxes for the city of Atlanta.
And that's also for any state. Like, you want to go, just look up housing authority in your state.
Yeah.
Make sure you guys research it. Okay. And then from there, again, consult with a great mortgage person.
Absolutely.
And a real estate agent in your area. So that way you're not going down the rabbit hole like someone that would sell their home without an exit strategy.
No exit strategy.
The exit strategy was, I'm going to sell my home and make double with Zillow. Right. Your exit strategy is you have nowhere to go, and now you're going to spend your money on.
And you may not even qualify now, because what do people do once they get in a house? Buy a new car, buy this, buy that. So now you're so debt loaded that you don't even qualify for where you're selling.
That's the problem with a lot of people.
Yeah.
There's no exit in mind.
Yeah.
No exit.
Plan. Yeah. You know? So, and again, but that goes back to educating us that want to be educated and really understanding the process, not just reading the top line. So if I tell you, you can get $60,000 in down payment assistance, you also have to read what the income requirements are, what the debt to income ratio is, and all agents and mortgage brokers aren't created equally. Some don't want to be bothered with that.
Say that again.
Yeah, like I'm sure you get it all the time. I heard something you said, that pre-approval is not worth the piece of paper it's written on.
Yeah.
And it's not, because every mortgage broker doesn't look at everything. You might have seen their W-2s, but have you seen their tax return?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so like with this program that I have, if you write everything off, you're not going to be able to qualify for anything.
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to qualify for anything.
Full documentation loan.
It's a full documentation, and it's a grant. It's backed up by a grant, and they have to do another layer of underwriting.
Yep.
So does it take longer? Yes, but for a free $60,000, I'll take
it. It's OPM.
I'll sit.
Other people's money.
Yeah.
Like, you got to be patient.
Yeah, let me sit out. I'll sit back. I got it.
Be patient and just take your time.
Like you said, the time's going to pass
the
anyway.
The time, you're going to still be in that apartment.
I'm going to tweet that.
Yeah. With time, what I want us to do is exercise patience in the things that we can actually make money off of. We're so impatient when it comes to growth and growing wealth. Like, I'm so sick of people saying, generational wealth, you don't own nothing. Shut up. I don't hear that no more. Like, quit talking about generational wealth and you
let
got four
go.
Baby daddies. Like, set up.
Let it go.
Yeah, like,
I like
stop.
It.
Like, just stop. Like, quit just saying stuff to say it. Like,
correct.
Yeah, just quit saying stuff to say it. We got to create generational. You don't even have life insurance.
That's a.
Yeah, you don't have life insurance. So that's the easiest path to wealth that we have.
Is life insurance.
Yeah, but you don't have life insurance.
You got insurance on your iPhone.
Yeah, but you.
I'm sure.
Sure got I'm insurance sure. on that.
Yeah.
And you about to go get the next one.
That's a fact.
Yeah. But tomorrow. I don't want to pay $118 a month for a $500,000 policy?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, with COVID, I think
it's
people have died.
Yeah.
People have died. So, you know, and people have died unexpectedly. So
yeah.
I think that for us, for programs, any of it, like I had someone say to me, I thought this was for low income. I said, no, it's for affordable housing.
Yes. Yeah.
This is an affordable housing program, but you still have to be able to qualify for the mortgage, even though they're getting $60,000 in grants. You still have taxes, insurance, and HOA, so the payment is going to be $1,400 a month.
Yeah.
But this area is going to be our next Glenwood Park. This is the only area that we have that much land.
Still affordable. I think that
Heck
people
yeah.
forget. Like when I tell them, when I used to talk about all these programs all the time, it's like they're all of them are on like when the Census Bureau deems to be a little below the poverty line.
Yeah.
Whatever that number is in your state.
Yeah.
Look it up, and also consider the number of people in the household.
Yeah.
That way you can start determining, am I going to qualify,
am I gonna qualify
or not, and then consult with someone. Because the biggest rumor that was ever told is, I woke up today, I'm buying my first house, and you guys are going to give me some free money.
Yeah.
That is the biggest rumor that has ever been told.
Yeah.
It's not true for any state.
Like
it doesn't happen like that. Get your affairs in order.
It's a process.
Get your paperwork in order. Consult with the right team of people, and then move forward from there.
And then also understand that the process is the process. You can't get around the process. You have to go through the process. And that's where we have the biggest challenge. Understand it's going to take the time it's going to take, but the free 60 is the free 60. Get the free 60.
Get the free 60.
Get the free 60.
You know what? I think that she's
look,
giving us
get the free 60.
We came on here,
a
certified gym dropper.
Yes.
Spicy.
Is there like a bell for certified?
Yeah. I think we need to get
the certified.
The bell is the wine.
It's the ching. It's the ching.
Last question, right? And this is what we like to end all our shows with.
Okay.
We need to, because you've been giving a lot of rants and gems.
Okay.
Yes.
But we need two more. We need one more rant.
Okay.
And one more gem for our audience.
Oh.
And give it to them nice and raw, short and sweet.
I think I should be gentle. Maybe.
No. Yeah. Spicy.
Maybe, yeah.
Spicy. Give us spicy.
You've been spicy all episode. Yeah. You keep that going.
Keep it going.
Yeah, this will be at the end. I'll just leave a gentle touch at the end.
But, okay.
No. So my rant. So my rant first?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. My rant is, do I look there? Where to look at y'all?
Right there.
Okay. My rant, y'all, stop. Like, my rant is cut it out. Like, stop it. Stop it already. Stop trying to negotiate where you do not have any position to make a move, right? So stop looking at what the house costs. Look at how much it's going to cost you per month. Look at your total debt. Like, let that car go back. Like, let the car go back. Put that back. Don't have an $800 car payment and you rent. Don't have a $900 car payment and you rent. Like, cut it out, because you're never going to own anything like that.
Great.
You're never going to own anything like that. So you liked it, right? You wanted that car? Well, okay. Let the car go back for a minute. Let someone else take over that payment, something. But you have to own if you're in a city and you're making over $35,000 a year, you can own something. Quit not owning anything. That's my rant, because we cannot have any power unless we have financial power.
Agreed.
So that's my rant.
What's your gem?
Oh, my gem. My gem is closed mouths don't get fed and lazy hands don't pick up bread. So that's my gem right there. So you ask for what you want. Ask for what you want every single time. And go and ask big. Like, I'm going to ask for a lot. All you can do is say no to some of it. Like, shoot for the moon. I might land amongst the stars. So when I go into a municipality, I ask them for everything I want. What can they say? Yes or no? They're going to give me something, because I went there knowing how much money they had in the budget.
Yeah.
So that's my gem. So don't be lazy. And then, you know, you want it, you better ask for it, because they're going to give you something. And that person, you're going to be top of mind. There's like in all those little small towns, we got this girl that comes from Atlanta and she's got some people that will buy something. You know, they call me now. Like, I don't have to call them about something. They're like, hey, such and such wants to sell this. Do you have someone? Because they want easy, smooth transactions. And once you can do an easy, smooth transaction once, twice, three times, you know, my reputation precedes me at this point. Let me help you help yourself.
Yeah.
Because one thing I know about white people, the color they see is green. It's not racism. It's not racism anymore. It's about money. So as long as you can pay, they don't care. Because they don't want it anymore anyway. They're not giving you what they want. They're giving you what they're trying to get rid of. And guess what? Someone else's trash is what?
Someone else's treasure.
That's a fact.
Yeah.
Well, tell the audience how to find you.
Okay. So you guys can find me at Maya Sly, and that is MajaSly on all social media platforms. And it's MajaSly.com.
There you have it, guys. This was an amazing episode. We learned about USDA, mobile homes, all types of ish today. And
all type of ish today.
All type of ish. You know what I'm saying? And you brought the spice today to Rants and
Gems. Spicy? I didn't know I was being spicy today.
No, he loves this.
I love it. Absolutely. So we appreciate you. So guys, we out of here, man. Tap in with Maya. This was an amazing episode. Rewind us. We're going to put some links in the description so you guys can go find out if the areas you're looking in is eligible for USDA direct or a regular USDA loan. My name is Matt Garland, NMLS number 58700, but better known as MG the Mortgage Guy.
And my name is Kiana Watson, license number 317576. I am the broker extraordinaire, and thank you guys for tuning in for another episode of the Rants and Gems show.
Peace.
I mean, I want to get my license number.
Gems. I'm so NY like MG, rocking his Timbs. Or Kiana representing Atlanta. We talking everything that's real estate. Y'all peeping the gram, I'm saying. Knowledge is power, you peep the weapon. Steady building better, be reclaiming all the equity. Dropping rants and gems, we got more of those. Flipping real estate daily, it's never foreclosed. I propose a toast to nation.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.